only a week, but I could take weeks and months. And I was thinking of just 10,000 different directions to go. And I've been contemplating this for a time and thinking, okay, how can I condense this? I can't. I'm just going to give you just a little scratch about my heart on this and what I really tried to convey to you, something that God says about this, because every day you're going to deal with difficult people. Every day you're going to run into somebody that's going to challenge you. It's going to, you know, just pull your chain in one way or the other. And as I contemplated this, I also thought about the personal role that each one of us play in this scenario. In other words, sometimes our actions, we can help the situation with dealing with a difficult person, or we can also exacerbate a situation that leads to even a more difficult place just by our response. I'm going to get into a few things. I wish I could, and I don't know, maybe I should come back to this as a series and just take 4 or 5 weeks on this. But if your actions aren't right before the Lord, you will contribute to the scenario that you're dealing with difficult people. Husbands and wives, have you ever looked back over a situation and you may have said something or acted in a way? Probably nobody here, but this will definitely pertain to the second service, that you responded in such a way that escalated the situation to a dimension that you just flat out regretted later. You can amen me if you want. You don't have to. But when you sit there cold-faced like that, you know I'm talking right at you. Maybe it's even in a workplace. Maybe you've responded instead of reacted to a situation. You know, I love that little thought, respond, react. I got on both of my elbows, I wore the skin off in the gym by what's called doing planks, where you're on your arms like this. You know, we went planks to sit-ups. You know, I did like, I don't know, you stretch your body out and you're on your elbows like that, and then you flip over and you start doing, well, flipping over, it ripped the skin right off my elbows. And I'm laying in bed one night, and I'm looking, and there's blood upon the pillow. And I looked at, honey, are you bleeding? She goes, no, but you are. And I look down, and my elbow is bleeding all over. And so, you know, even today, I've got 2 Band-Aids on my elbow so it doesn't bleed through on my shirt. But then, and so I, you know, put the Band-Aid on, put a little stuff on it. And I responded to that in an appropriate way to bring healing to it. Consequently, I had a little surgery done on one of my feet about a month and a half ago, and the doctor said, do this, do this, do this. Yes, sir. And the person that I am that just does everything that I'm told, why are you laughing at me right now? I did not one day, and that my foot then, instead of responding in a positive way, it reacted and it got infected. And so that's what can happen in our relationships. You can respond appropriately, or you can react in a way that even creates a more difficult outcome than what you were already facing. Are you with me on this today? And I read this little acronym called STOP that helps us avoid reacting. And STOP stands for, number one, stop whatever you're doing. Take a moment to evaluate. You got to do this all in the moment that you're facing the situation. Observe how your body feels. I don't know if any of you, but have you ever been faced with a difficult person or a difficult situation, and I'm trying to get over this. And believe me, when I stand up here and I talk to you today, I have none of this mastered. I am working in this myself. But you got to observe sometimes how your body feels. I mean, I've talked to people, and they've reacted in a way back to me, and I can just feel it's like something is rising inside of me. I don't know if my blood pressure, some people say your blood is boiling. I don't know what it is. But what's going on in that minute that you got to stop and you have to address it? And then the P is to proceed with kindness and compassion. Because when you have that in your heart in those situations, you will move past that obstacle of arguing and fighting. No matter how challenging the incident or even the relationship is, when you pause in that moment, it helps to derail your emotional reaction, and it keeps you from doing or saying something that you're going to regret later. So I thought about this, and one of Kathy's favorite things to say sometimes in the office, she'll tell people to put your sword away. Sometimes you gotta put your sword away. This can be a powerful strategy when you're dealing with a difficult person. It doesn't mean you're passive, but it does mean that you maintain your personal opinion in the situation at hand. Rather than engaging with the intention of making the other person wrong, listen, this is so important. You consciously choose not to be an adversary. You have to give up the position of always wanting to be the smartest person in the room, or in plain layman terms, of always being right. You are not always right. Listen, when I'm talking about this, I hope you're not thinking of somebody else right now, because this is about you. I'm talking to me right now. You ask your ego to take a step back. You're not going to be right all the time. And even if you don't agree with the perspective at hand, you can turn a heated debate into a moment of peace. And you can move past that obstacle with a difficult person just by laying down your sword. Hebrews 12:14 says, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord." And then, you know, I thought about putting this next thought at the end, but sometimes you got to just insert it in the middle. You got to learn to walk away if necessary. Difficult people can draw you down a dark hole sometimes, and there is no end to it. Listen, I've dealt with this. I've been doing what I've been doing for quite a long time. When you hear me say things like, you know, if you come to me, I'm gonna give you 5 or 10 things that I really believe that you should do. If you do them, you'll get better. If you don't, you stay the same, and I'm going home with the blonde tonight. Because when you continually give your emotions over to someone in a situation that never wants to change, you become completely depleted, and nothing is improved. I'm just telling you real stuff here right now. And this isn't about winning or losing, but this is about you making a decision to step away sometimes from a toxic situation or a toxic environment that's dampering who you are and who you've been called to be, and detach from the situation. And you have to trust the Lord with the other person to work it out. I can't help everybody. And you know, here's a newsflash to some of you that think you can. You can't either. You can't help everybody. And sometimes you have to just release that person into God's hand. That doesn't mean you have to dislike them or hate them. Listen, move that word out of your vocabulary. Paul says in Romans 12:18, and I love this scripture. He says that if it is possible, as much as it depends on who? You. Be at peace with all men. Sometimes you have to see that it's not changing them. That's not the answer. You just have to step back. You have to be at peace, and you have to let God take it over. And then, you know, you have to personify in dealing with difficult people. You have to personify compassion. It's an attribute that the person sees opportunities for healing, for peace, and love in every situation. You can see that, and you and I must personify that. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Even when you're faced with a difficult person, when you move with the attitude of compassion, and it allows you to see from another advantage point, another person's position. I've seen that so many times in what I do. Sometimes, you know, I'm just being honest up here. I'm very vulnerable. Sometimes I get exasperated with a particular individuals that just all the time, nothing changes. And then I'll see somebody else go to them, and because, you know, maybe they didn't start where I started, and they come in and have incredible success in that situation. That's why I'm such a great proponent of counselors, great counselors, because they can help in situations like this. Colossians 3:12 says, for you to put on, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. I've learned that when I move with compassion, God helps me to deal with the greatest of issues. Difficult people, they can even challenge your commitment to God. But by practicing these steps, you can respond more reflectively than reactively. You can understand where a person is coming from, and instead of a relationship being destroyed, it can be built up. And God, even in the midst of difficulty, He anoints you and He helps you to deal with these situations. And for some of you, God is using the situation to promote you. Listen to me now. Debbie, I told you to come up with this, but just hold on a minute, because I wasn't sure how this was all going to work. In 1 Samuel, if you have your Bible, I want you to look at this. If you don't, you'll see it on the screen. In chapter 16 and verse 12 through 23, I want to read this little portion of Scripture. I'm just going to give you four little things at the end, and then I'm going to send you on your way. Here's an incredible Scripture on how God used a difficult person, a difficult situation, to open up the destiny of an individual. Speaking of David here in 1 Samuel 16, verse 12, it says, so he sent and he brought him in. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Speaking of David. And Samuel took the horn of oil and he anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came on David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. This is an incredible, this is the point here that David is recognized, he is anointed at that very moment. He doesn't go into the ministry that God called him to, but he begins to. And sometimes we think that when God calls us at that point, now everything is going to just be perfect and easy and fun, and nothing could be further from the truth. And I want you just to listen and watch these next few verses here, how this situation begins to unfold in verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Now, we just read how the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. And then just in a couple verses down, it says the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. Now, I want you to see that. And if you look in your Bible and you have your Bible, you're going to see that phrase four times in the next few verses. The Spirit of the Lord departed Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord came on him. And Saul's servant, verse 15, said to him, surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. Not only Saul knew it, but those who were around him knew it as well. God is not the evil spirit, I want you to know, but He is in control of this situation. Verse 16, it says, let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp. And it shall be that he will play it with his hand. And when the distressing spirit from God is on you, you shall be well. So Saul said to his servants, find me someone who can play well and bring him to me. And one of the servants answered and said, look, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite. He is skilled in playing. He's a mighty man of valor. He's a man of war. He's good in his speech and talking. And he's also handsome. And the Lord is with him. Wow, what a resume that is, isn't it? I mean, he's got it all. He's a skillful musician. He's a mighty man of valor. He's got great integrity. He's a man of war. You don't want to mess with him. He's good at communication. And he's just a good-looking dude. And all of that, the Lord is with him. And therefore, Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the sheep. And I just want to insert this to somebody this morning. You may be tending sheep today, but if you'll be faithful in that, God will bring you up higher than you ever thought you could go. And Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread and a skin of wine and a young goat and sent them by his son David to Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse saying, please let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight for now. So it was whenever the Spirit from God was upon Saul, that David would take a harp and play it with his hand, then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. Let me say this to you, and I'm only going to be a few more minutes. God used a difficult environment to be a blessing in another man's life. Saul was God's instrument to bring about God's choice. Do you understand that? This difficult person that God brought into David's life was brought to David, who actually tried to kill him later, but was brought to David to usher David into his destiny. Some of us sometimes are trying to get out of a difficult situation, get away from a difficult person all the time. Listen, and I said it earlier, sometimes you got to walk away. But sometimes, anytime anyone comes up against any adversity in any way, we just want to run away from it. And God's saying, I put you there so that I could use this individual to bring you into the destiny, into the place that I have called you to go. And instead of you getting up every day and grumbling and complaining about where you got to go, who you got to work to, who you're waking up next to, you should begin to thank God, because God may use that very situation to take you into the promise that he has given to you. Because we got to know this. God anoints you in difficult moments. Never forget this. When others are around you who are not able to handle a situation, when you and I allow God to empower us in that place, he will anoint you. And when he anoints you, he will raise you up above many others. He'll use you to bring peace. He'll use you to bring a calm. That's what he did to David. I love how God used David. In a place where everybody else says there's an evil spirit that's distressing him. How many of you would like to go to work tomorrow knowing that your boss, God put an evil spirit on him to distress him, and you are called to be the one to go in there and bring peace to him? But God used David, and it put David in the place where he's called to go. But in knowing this, you have to realize, secondly, you can't fix everyone. Here we are again. In John chapter 5 and verse 30, Jesus says, by myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who has sent me. When you live by this principle, and you realize you can't fix anyone, you can't fix everyone, you have to let God use you and empower you and do what he wants you to do. Not what somebody else wants. You have to do what he wants you to do. And then, Debbie, you can come now. And then you have to learn to rise above the issues and the problems. Isaiah 40:31, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. You got to go higher than that situation. Quit getting caught up in the mire and the mess. Sometimes I think people love to get in the mess with others because it makes them feel good about who they are. Like they're called to solve every problem. And can I tell you, you're not. But you have to live with an attitude of God, use me, empower me. I pray your blessing over my life. But sometimes you got to learn to rise above it. And last, when you're dealing with difficult people, you have to learn this. This is very important. Never retaliate. Never. That means whether you're driving down the road. Well, I was at a graduation gathering yesterday, and she came into it, and she was saying she was driving down the road on 490, and somebody got upset at her, pulled up next to her, blowing the horn, putting up their middle finger. She was just so upset about it. She couldn't believe that happened. I'm listening to her, and I'm thinking, people do that to me all the time. I don't know what I'm missing here. I don't know what the deal is. You know, you pull out somewhere, you pull out in traffic, and maybe there's a car coming closer than you thought, and all of a sudden, instead of them slowing down, they want to drive right up on your back. I know nobody does that here, right? Somebody makes you mad when you're in your car, and you're going to show them, teach them something. How about on social media? It seems to be the platform that people can hide in their room in the dark, but they can assault the world with their opinion. And the Bible says, don't retaliate. 1 Peter 3:9 says, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and He will grant you His blessing when you bless. When you deal with difficult people and you don't retaliate, and you bless them, God will bless you. I just felt that, you know, as I was writing this and just putting these thoughts together, this is such a prominent issue in our culture today. Not only in our culture, but also in the church. If somebody doesn't get what they want, when they want it, how they want it, they're mad. And they exacerbate the situation. They get upset with somebody, and the person that they get upset at doesn't even know what they're mad about. Yes? And we're wasting all this emotional energy that God is calling you and I to go and to help somebody and to love others. And let me just say this. It doesn't work with everyone. Bible, I read it, as much as it depends on you to be at peace with all men. You keep your heart clean, but you can't change everybody. You can't make everybody think the way you think they should think or do what you think they should do. But you and I are not called to retaliate. You are not called to retaliate. It is not your job, nor is it my job. God will take care of that. He says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. I've shared this before. I've had people lie and do some of the nastiest things, say about me and do just, you know what, as hard as it was, and I wanted to retaliate. I'm telling you what, I could read you scripture on, you know, I showed you where David, he played for Saul, but later on Saul hated him, wanted to kill him. Here David served him, and then the very man that he served turned because of his jealousy and his hatred. He wanted to destroy him, and David could have. They were in a cave. David was hiding. Saul walked in the cave to use the restroom. David could have taken his life. A couple times. He said, no, I won't do that. Why? Because when you lower yourself to someone else's level, you become that as well. And God doesn't call you and I to do that. He calls you and I not to retaliate, but that when we bless, He gives a blessing to us. I don't know, maybe that's hard for some of you to embrace. Maybe you've gone through a breakup in your family. You're thinking, I'm not going to bless them. I want to blow their car up with them sitting in it. No, that's not right. I'm not telling you got to snuggle up to everybody that's hurt you either. But you got to clear your heart out. You got to let God help you to deal with that difficult person, that difficult situation. And when you do, God will bless you. Can I just tell you today? Because I'm 61 years old. Thank God I'm strong, healthy, and God has blessed my life in a beautiful way because I refuse to lower myself to hurt others. You need to do that as well. That's not easy. That's not something you learn overnight. And I know some of you may think, well, yeah, but you don't understand. And you're right, I don't understand where you are. But one thing I do understand is what God's word says. Whatever God has called you to do, He will grant you His blessing. Close your eyes. Bow your head with me today. Father, I just ask you to help and bring power to your people in dealing with situations and difficult people that we run across in our lives. Give us the strength to do what you have called us to do. Thank you, God. Chucks, would you guys just come down? If you need, just your eyes closed, your heads bowed. You can't do any of this unless Jesus is the Lord and the master of your life. He needs to be number one in your life. If He's not, you need to allow Him to be that in your life today. Spirit of the living God, I pray that you would wash over the heart and the life of some that are here right now that have just been facing this challenge over and over again. I pray that you will help them. I pray that you will strengthen them. I pray that you will empower them to do and to be what you have called them to be. And I ask it today in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Listen, you need prayer. Maybe you're dealing with a situation like that. Let these men pray with you this morning. Let them come alongside of you and say, you know, I'm just not good at it. I'm not sure anybody's mastered it. But I'll tell you what, when two or more agree on touching something, God can do a great work in your life. I love you. Go in His grace today.